ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app, on ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
And that, my friends, is why you do not break up the Bulls, because of what they are capable of last night. A 119-113 thriller at home at the UC as the Bulls come back and put it on the Bucks with a six-point win in OT. And I do say put it on, because when you win by six in OT, after having trailed by 11 with 2.5 minutes remaining in the game, that, my friends, is a hell of a comeback. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Tyler Aki, as we're in for Cap and Jay Hood. That was a fun watch, a fun night of basketball last night, Tyler.
Didn't it feel a little bit like the Bulls of last year?
I think it felt a lot like last year.
And for some reason, too, it felt like this was a game that everyone seemed locked into. Even though they're coming off of the loss to the Rockets, it felt like there was some juice to this game, and not just because it was the Bucks on the other side. Like, the Bulls were still playing good basketball up until that point against the Rockets, where they lose and get blown out, allow over 130 points to one of the worst teams in the league. But it just kind of felt like, I don't think I've gotten more texts about a Bulls game this season than last night. And it wasn't just because of the comeback, I feel like. It just felt like people were sort of dialed into that game for some reason last night.
Well, it's the Bucks. You've got Giannis, you know, one of the top five players
in
the league.
He's going off.
Absolutely. By the way, yeah, he went for 45 and 20?
And 22. He set a career high in rebounds. It's the first ever 40-20 game at the United Center.
And you know, it's the first time we've had a 40-20 game in the NBA since yesterday when Luka did it. But, and we spent a large portion of the show talking about Luka. But no, I think it was when Giannis is in the house, there's that extra element of, okay, this is worth my time. No matter what the effort is coming from the Bulls, and that's part of the reason we've been so frustrated as fans with them this season, is because there's the inconsistency. There's too much of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with the Bulls, you know, night in and night out, never knowing quite what you're going to get. As you saw last night, as you saw in the previous game against Houston, you know, it's just, there's too much inconsistency. The effort was fully there from the Bulls last night against the Bucks, and I think you're absolutely right. What they did, what had everybody buzzing, it felt like more than usual. And it certainly didn't, you know, hurt that you had probably your, I'd say right now, your biggest division rival, your biggest rival in the conference going right now in the Bucks. Maybe they're the big brother in this situation, but they're clearly the team that the Bulls have got to get past if they have any intentions of actually making a deep run in the playoffs. And we'll have a lot of discussion about that. If you'd like to discuss Bulls, 312-332-3776. How reinvigorated were you by last night's comeback victory? Here are the sights and sounds of the Bulls' comeback win against the Bucks. Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago.
DeRozan, crossover for the lead. Yes! Oh, the ball is DeRozan. That's Game time. Game time. Game time. You can drive home safely, Chicago. Beat, beat.
The comeback of the season to knock off Milwaukee for their second win against the Bucks this year.
The Bulls seem to have no issue when they're playing some of the top teams in the East. Unlike last year,
yeah,
where the problem was good teams, this year the issue has been, you know, the inconsistent effort against teams they should be beating. And an effort like last night, I think, goes to show a lot of what we were talking about yesterday, Tyler. You know, do you need to blow this roster up? I was of the mindset, and still am, that I don't think blowing up the Bulls does you any good, because I think there's just too much talent assembled for them to find their way, especially when knowing that you'd be blowing it up and any draft pick that you could, if it doesn't land inside the top four, is headed to Orlando as a result of the Vooch trade. So I don't think blowing it up is practical. I don't think any franchise in all reality is going to go ahead and tank for a less than 50-50. I think it would be 48.5% or something for them to land in the top four if they end up with really high lottery odds. And so I don't think any franchise is going to embark upon a tank job like that. But last night, it's just, that's fun basketball. DeMar DeRozan going off for 42 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks on 15 of 25 shooting, and 10 of the Bulls' 13 points in OT. I mean, that was a ridiculous effort. I mean, was that his best game as a member of the Bulls? He's had a couple really nice ones.
There was a game against the Clippers last year where I think he went off for over 50, I want to say, in an overtime win against the Clippers. But that's right up there, because you're going up and beating a team that is going to be in the conversation, in the mix to win the NBA Finals this year. A lot of people think this is the best team in basketball right now with the Bucks, and not just that, but this is your second win against the Bucks this year. You brought up how this team really struggled last year against some of these playoff caliber teams. This year so far, among teams that are sitting in the top 10 in each conference right now, so teams that would be in the play-in or firmly in the playoffs,
yes,
the Bulls are 12-11 against those teams this season. And you look at, okay, what does that mean? What are they against the teams that are outside the playoffs? They're 3-8. So if you can flip that number the rest of the season and continue to play about 500 ball, then that completely changes the narrative of should you blow this thing up, because if you start playing better against some of these bottom-feeding teams, you're going to start to pad that record a little bit. And you've got a chance these next couple of games, especially at home. Next 3 games are at home.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a chance to get this thing right near 500 again if you keep playing this way. But this can't be one of those teams that just plays to their competition every single night.
I believe it's 2 more at home because it was a 3-game homestand.
That's right. Yep.
They have the Pistons coming to town tomorrow night, and we'll talk about them. The Bulls actually also may get a little bit of a bump against the Pistons because of what went down with Detroit last night. Looks like they're going to have some suspensions coming. So I would imagine the Pistons will be shorthanded when they play the Bulls on Friday night at the UC, and then they will, of course, host the Cleveland Cavaliers on New Year's Eve at the UC. So, and then they'll have a follow-up game in Cleveland on January 2nd. So they have a back-to-back, not back-to-back in terms of nights, but back-to-back in terms of games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So a few games coming up here where, yes, there's an opportunity for the Bulls to kind of change the narrative around what their season's been all year. This is where I think it kind of, maybe it started, you know, 4 games ago when they went on that little 3-game run, right? And then, unfortunately, the Houston debacle kind of soured the taste in everyone's mouth on where they were at. But then you get right back at it, you jump back and show what you're capable of. And I think that's the one thing, like, you know, the Bucks weren't shorthanded. You know what I mean? Like, they brought, for the most part, you know, their full roster, right? Their full complement of pieces.
Well, they were missing, what? Were they missing Middleton last night? And also Drew Holiday,
yeah,
too.
So I guess
out
that's
there,
true.
But
when Giannis and Brooke Lopez were there, and of course everybody's favorite man to hate, who we will get into that too momentarily. Should we? I mean, you know what? We can jump into it now if you'd like.
Yeah, let's
I mean
do it.
this is possibly, if you want to ask, okay, because it was a back and forth game,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like at least for the first half and then entering the third quarter, it felt like Giannis was going to impose his will and will the Bucks to victory. And I don't know if this was the moment that everything turned, because the Bucks still did pad some numbers and increase their lead after this. But this play by Grayson Allen seemed to really fuel the Bulls' desire to not let this game slip away.
And things get a little chippy here. Matthews and DeRozan had to be separated.
Well, it was Grayson Allen always in the middle of it.
Allen's in the midst of it. Let's say I get the feeling that you're going to see something here when they show the replay. DeRozan still jawing, and I can understand his frustration.
Let's take a look at it. Let's see what happened.
I want to see this.
Was there something extra after the...
Listen, every time something like this happens, his go-to default setting is to do something a little extra.
And then he
puts his hands up and says, oh, well, I didn't do anything at all.
Listen, I'm going to clear out of the way here because I know when there's a man who comes from Duke who needs to be put on blast, Tyler, you are the best man at the station to do it. So I, Jeff Meller, will cede the floor to Tyler Aki here.
All right. I mean, this is just another apple off of the Coach K tree right here. When you have this track record that Grayson Allen has, and again, it's not just in the NBA, multiple incidents in college, multiple incidents at the pro level, incidents in the summer league as well. You are not allowed to get away with this anymore. The NBA has kind of turned its eye on the Grayson Allen situation for so long. And when you get offense after offense after offense, it's time to make an actual punishment. Hand something real down on him. He needs, like, this is unbelievable that it gets to this point where he's allowed to continue to get away with stuff like this. There wasn't anything excessive in terms of a penalty that gets handed down in this instance, but I would hope the league office does something different because he has gotten away with this for too long. And when you've got the track record that he does, you can't let this continue to be an issue because eventually, I mean, I shouldn't even say eventually, he already has seriously hurt someone.
Absolutely. Alex Caruso.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're going to let him continue to get away with it, he's just going to hurt someone else. And listen, yesterday is probably on the lower scale of what he's done. But even it's the when he makes his whatever shifty move he's going to go out there and try to hurt someone with, he still plays victim at the end of it. Like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. And I can't believe people, like last year after the Caruso thing, you kind of saw his teammates knew what he did was wrong. And they kind of backed off and weren't the most supportive in standing up for him after that. But now you're seeing them start to embrace him a little bit more. And you saw Giannis get in the middle of things. And he was the one that really held DeMar DeRozan back. But this can't be something that continues to happen. Some sort of suspension, even though this is on the lower scale of his offenses, something has to happen because he can't keep being allowed to do stuff like this because it is going to eventually lead to another big injury. DeMar DeRozan was never going to be seriously injured from what happened last night, but it's because of who it was that something needs to happen.
This is the Cap and Jay Hood Show. Tyler Aki, Jeff Meller filling in for the guys. And if it is the Cap and Jay Hood Show, so I think it's perfectly apt that we ask the question, did something that happened in last night's Pistons game need to happen to Grayson Allen? We'll talk about that coming up next.
It's Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Jeff Meller, Tyler Aki in for Cap and Jay Hood today, recapping a thrilling Bulls comeback last night at the UC as they go on to beat the Milwaukee Bucks 119-113. And asking the question, was Grayson Allen, the irritant, doing what he consistently does? And not just against the Bulls, even though the Bulls seem to be on the primary receiving end of his stuff. There are numerous, if you just search Grayson Allen, there's numerous clips floating around of him attempting to do the little extra trip, sticking out the leg. That seems to be his biggest go-to.
Yeah, that's his bread and butter right there.
Yeah, and I know, you know, Trae Young and Ja Morant have both called him out, you know, publicly for his garbage. And what you saw last night, though, when he gets, you know, slightly pushed, then I think Adam Amin last night pointed out, like, that's what happens is his go-to default mechanism is, all right, if I get pushed or, you know, just in the current in the basic events of basketball, right? If I get pushed in any way or run into, it's that extra where he'll just tumble into the opponent in some way, whether it's falling into their legs, you know, knowing what he knowingly. I think we all know he is knowingly doing it, right? Deliberately. And then, but he's trying to make it look as though it's an accident. And it's just garbage as a player. And I think it's why he is, at this point, I think he's numero uno on the guy that Bulls fans, the most hated list. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean,
in the league?
And I think within the confines of this city, like the most hated list, it probably goes, what, Aaron Rodgers, Grayson Allen?
Yes.
Right?
And Grayson Allen.
Am I missing someone?
And Grayson Allen, His hatred is well earned, whereas Aaron Rodgers, you know, aside from obviously having played the Jared Payton clip yesterday, but Aaron Rodgers, the hatred is more because he's just somebody who makes Bears fans. He's been responsible.
It's more jealousy.
And he's been responsible for a lot of, you know, bad moments at the hands of Bears fans. It's through his play and his excellence that he is hated. Whereas Grayson Allen, it's not the excellence by any means. It's because he's an irritant. And I wonder, does something need to happen? Bulls fans, do you think the Bulls need to do something in response to Grayson Allen? If you didn't see it yesterday in the game between the Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons, and again, the Pistons will be in town tomorrow night to take on the Bulls, and they may be doing so shorthanded because Killian Hayes and Hamadou Diallo were in the mix of a scuffle with Mo Wagner. And what happened is Mo Wagner goes for a steal, throws out a loose ball. I don't know. I think Wagner might have been losing the ball. But he throws out a shoulder in the direction of Killian Hayes. And Hayes then tumbles in to the bench area with the seating area. And he is very perturbed, and he ends up throwing a punch at Mo Wagner and connecting to the back of his head. He basically knocked Mo Wagner out. If you watch the replay, Wagner seems to be knocked out momentarily.
He looks like a boxer.
Yes, because he was hit directly in the back of the head. Here is the breakdown of the Magic Pistons game last night.
So maybe this continues. And Orlando with a turnover. Oh, Mo Wagner pushes Killian Hayes into the crowd. And now we're melee. Right at the Pistons bench. They got to be careful.
Nobody moves. Stay in your seats. Do not move from your seat.
Action was. Loose ball. Here's Killian Hayes. Going to get pushed by Wagner. Mo Wagner. Pretty aggressively. Hamadou's going to get Wagner right there in the back. Killian's going to get him too.
For an altercation that did not dissolve.
I didn't see that in real time.
I didn't either. So here it is. Hamadou gets Wagner first, and Killian Hayes comes in from the backside.
And that was courtesy of Bally Sports Southwest. Honestly, I think they were a little bit kind to Killian Hayes because he clearly punched Mo Wagner
like
in the head, in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And he connects, and Wagner actually does seem to get knocked out momentarily. Now, he was back up fairly quickly, but they were ejected for the altercation, and you have to believe that a suspension is definitely coming down for Killian Hayes. Diallo not sure if he'll receive a suspension, but I do believe Killian Hayes will have one coming.
No doubt about it. I mean, that was a retaliation shot. That was, I mean, you just can't. And we've seen, I think, the NBA really tighten things up all the way back from the Malice at the Palace, just trying to tighten things up because you don't see a lot of NBA fights. Like, you maybe see a little pushing and shoving every once in a while, but there's not nearly as many brawls and scuffles in the NBA as there is in any other sport.
No, and listen, you're a little too young to remember this, but, you know, throughout the 70s and the 80s, and even into the early part of the 90s, you know, there were old school fights in the NBA. Robert Parrish famously punched Bill Laimbeer, who, you know, anybody who's been a Bulls fan for, you know, 20, 30 plus years now remembers Bill Laimbeer as might be the most hated in terms of people like opponents. And Grayson Allen carries a lot of Bill Laimbeer in his game. Now, he's not 7 foot, but he is the irritant like Laimbeer was. And Robert Parrish famously punched Bill Laimbeer in the face and was not even ejected from the game in the 80s. So it is definitely a different time. But you wonder, and this is where the Bulls are stuck in a difficult spot, because they want to protect their teammates, right? But I'm not advocating to go full Killian Hayes here, and someone on the Bulls needs to punch Grayson Allen in the back of the head because you're going to be ejected, right? That's not the situation. But the NBA needs to do better in regards to Grayson Allen, because he does have the track record that you're pointing out. So I think something needs to be done by the NBA here, because it's too often.
It's getting out of
hand. Grayson Allen. It's all the time. And if you don't want your players, you know, hauling back and punching him in the face, you need to do something when he has these little incidents that are clearly done with an intent to, you know, perturb the opponent.
It's not like this is some money-making player either. It's Grayson Allen.
Yes,
he's
exactly.
A role player.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going out of your way to protect this role player that's bounced around the league? I don't understand it.
It's a fair point. 312-332-3776. If you'd like to chime in, what would you like? Does the Bulls need to go a little bit of street justice on Grayson Allen here? Let's try Robert in Franklin Park. Bobby, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. You know what? This guy has had a track record all the way from Duke. He has a track record. He has continues to do. It's like every year. Every year, this guy puts himself, like last night. You can see in the replay, he gets bumped. He looks at DeRozan and says, you know what? I'm going to continue pretend and hit you down. Like, Grayson Allen, he puts his own team in a predicament where they have to protect him as a teammate, because that's what teammates do. But if I'm Bobby Portis, if I'm someone on that team, I'm like, dude, when are you going to stop this crap? Because we have to back you, even though you look like, even on camera and everyone can see, you are clearly at fault here, and we still got to protect you. And you know what? This guy's like public enemy number two in Illinois and Chicago. I know Aaron Rodgers might be number one, but this guy's definitely on the the bad guy list. But thanks, guys. Thanks.
No problem. Thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate it. Again, 312-332-3776 if you want to chime in. Absolutely. No, there's no doubt about it. He is, I have to believe, I think he's probably more hated than Aaron Rodgers.
I think, yeah, there's more vitriol towards Grayson Allen, but there's more jealousy towards Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but the truth is, Aaron Rodgers really hasn't done much except to respond in a moment when fans were chastising him at Soldier Field, right? And we all hated, because you said we're jealous of Aaron Rodgers because of his ability and wanting for that quarterback, but the reality was, I don't feel like it truly got heightened until the I own you comment, right? And that's when things over the last couple of years ago, things kind of really intensified in terms of hatred towards Aaron Rodgers,
remember,
at least in my opinion.
Remember the conversation maybe about a year ago when things were starting to go haywire with the Packers, and it's like, oh, if there's a way for the Bears to get Aaron Rodgers, would you want him, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of Bears fans that would love to have Aaron Rodgers at the time because of how talented he is.
Yeah, and there was no Justin Fields on the roster.
Right. If the Bulls had signed Grayson Allen, even though he may fill a need, like, he's a good three-point shooter, one of the best in the NBA. If the Bulls signed Grayson Allen, there would be an uproar in the city. I don't think people would want him.
No, it's interesting, too, because they have... You bring that up because Dennis Rodman famously, you know, alongside Bill Laimbeer for many years, was another hated Pistons player. And he had shoved Scottie Pippen, you know, in the playoffs. And that was, you know, resulting in a back injury. And for a long time, you know, there was, at least until the season began, like questions, could Rodman and Pippen actually play together? And was it a smart move by the Bulls to bring Dennis Rodman aboard? And Bulls fans were able to get past it partially because Pippen was willing to make amends or at least overlook it. It's because for the betterment of the team. But the reality is that it took till Rodman got on the court and Pippen basically looked the other way and said, okay, we can do this. It's interesting. I don't know. Are we just as sports fans, depending on what, if he wears your laundry, are you willing to root for him at all costs? You know, it's an interesting point you bring up because yes, he certainly is hated as a member of the Bucks, but I'm, you know, I do feel like if they're doing it for your team,
if they're tripping and shoving for your team, like it's one thing to be a guy who it's like you love them if they're on your team, you hate them if you play against them. Joakim Noah, I think, is one of the consummate examples of that, mm-hmm. right? But like Joakim was never dirty. Joakim just played with a lot of heart and hustle. Like Grayson Allen doesn't play with heart, all right? He sweeps the leg. Like what do you think was happening at those Duke practices when they pull the curtains down at Cameron? Sweep the leg. Sweep the get Grayson like this. Sweep the leg. Like that's the stuff that happens, and he's gotten away with it for year after year after year, and it's reached a tipping point now.
Well, Tiger's not changing his stripes at this point. DeMar DeRozan in the postgame was asked if he received an apology from Grayson Allen.
Did he apologize to you in the moment?
Nah, I wasn't expecting him to.
You don't usually react like that. Did you feel like it was a cheap shot? We all kind of know his track record.
His track record. You know, if it was Boban, you know, I wouldn't have did nothing. You know, but... You know, who knows? I didn't know if it was on purpose or what happened. I just felt the excessive hit. That's all it was. So,
no surprise to DeMar DeRozan. Typical Grayson Allen acting like a douche. We shouldn't be surprised at this. But you know what? Maybe a big thank you is in order, because ultimately I do think that helped fuel the Bulls' comeback last night. The fact that they knew he was on the other side of the ball and they were like, you know what? Let's push on. And when they found themselves in a situation, they weren't giving up. Fight until the end last night. And it obviously paid off big time. 312-332-3776. Up next, a big-time benching in Vegas. How does this benefit the Bears? We discuss next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So yesterday afternoon, we got word that the Las Vegas Raiders are going to be benching Derek Carr for the remainder of the season, and they're going to go with Jared Stidham. And what's curious about this, there's a couple things, but I find it interesting because Derek Carr is going to step away from the team. So he's not even going to be on the bench, probably, I would imagine, not participating in practice over the next couple weeks. Of course, the Raiders have been eliminated from playoff contention here with their loss to the Steelers last week, so you understand it. But interestingly, Derek Carr right now on the season has 3,522 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 14 picks, a passer rating of 86.3. That yardage total, Tyler, would be the fifth highest single season passing yardage total for the Bears in a single season. Fifth.
Sad state of affairs.
He would be tied for the fifth highest amount of passing touchdowns in a season, and he has been benched after 15 games by Josh McDaniels. McDaniels was asked yesterday, what does this benching mean for Carr's future with the Raiders?
Once the season's over, in terms of how we make the most progress, what makes the most sense for everybody, and how we move forward. And we knew that was going to be the case. Obviously, we were hoping to be in a different scenario than we are currently. But there's no finality to today. This is just a decision we thought, after talking about it and contemplating it, that we thought, you know, would be an opportunity for us to see, you know, what we have in him and how we do going forward. We'll see. You know what I mean? So there's a lot to be sorted through once the season's over.
And let me correct one thing. The Raiders are 6-9. They have not technically been eliminated, but for all practical purposes, they're so far behind everybody for that final seven spot. They're still behind. They're still behind five teams. So the reality is they need almost everything to fall into place.
Yeah.
And they need to win out against the San Francisco 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs. The last two seems highly unlikely. So even though they haven't officially been eliminated, they've been practically eliminated, What were your initial thoughts when you saw Derek Carr was being benched by the Raiders?
So Derek Carr is one of those complex quarterbacks, I feel like, in the NFL, where he can put up numbers, he can lead you on a game-winning drive, but he can also lose you a game just as easily as he can win you a game. And I was surprised that they are shutting it down. It's not like there's a rookie that you want to really try out.
Yeah.
It's not like a Titans situation where, oh, maybe let's get a look at Malik Willis, or in Pittsburgh, let's see what Kenny Pickett can do. Or even if you wanted to get a little bit deeper down into a quarterback, like it's not like they had just drafted a quarterback in the fifth round. All right, let's see what this kid can do. No, it's Jared Stidham, who's bounced around some backup roles. He was with the Patriots for a little bit. I believe he started a couple games there too.
He did.
Out of desperation at times. But I didn't understand the benching of Derek Carr at this point in time. He's not bad enough where he really absolutely kills your team, but he's also not good enough where you have to totally buy into him either. And it's not like there was the backup option that was there. I think you kind of owe it to Derek Carr to let him try these last two games, if for no other reason, to try out for other teams.
I think, well, I'll disagree in the sense that I think if other teams want Derek Carr, then the next two games I don't think will really sway them one way or the other. What's interesting, though, to me is that Davante Adams, mm-hmm. we were led to believe the driving force behind why he ended up with Las Vegas in the offseason was because of his relationship to Derek Carr. College teammates, famously, and mm-hmm. clearly Adams has had a very productive year. But the weird thing for the Raiders is, and maybe this is why, you know, maybe it is on Derek Carr, but they've had some close games that they've lost. And, you know, maybe Josh McDaniels, who folks probably here remember pretty clearly, he's the reason Jay Cutler ended up with Chicago. Because remember, when he got to Denver, when he arrived there, he had a falling out very quickly before when he got into the building and made Jay Cutler available via trade because he didn't think he was somebody who was going to operate within his offense. But it's odd to go forward with Derek Carr the way he did at the start of the season with Davante Adams. And Adams was asked yesterday about it.
Obviously, I don't think anybody was excited about it in here. You know, him being one of my really good friends, and you know, the reason why I came here in the first place. I mean, I wouldn't be here right now if he wasn't if he wasn't here.
I mean, there you go. He wouldn't be there right now if Derek Carr wasn't there. I mean, that's interesting, and you wonder, because Josh McDaniels hasn't been afraid to trade away players like Jay Cutler, and he's obviously looking down the road as to trying to trade Derek Carr. I don't know if any team's going to be willing to give up too much for Derek Carr. Maybe that's the interesting question. But for the Bears' purposes, is Davante Adams in play?
Yeah, I think he absolutely is in play. Now it's just going to be, do you have the capital to go out and get him? So last year they traded the Raiders traded a first and a second round pick. Bears have that for this upcoming draft, and I don't know if you're trading the number one overall pick to go out and get Davante Adams, but it's also one of those things. Is it kind of like the whole drive a car off the lot and the value of the car
depreciates? Yeah,
depreciates. So what's that price going to look like? I'd imagine there's probably a first round pick tied to it because Davante Adams is still young. I believe he's 27 years old. So when you look at what his value might be, it's probably a first round pick, but you may not have to give up that second round. Oh, I take that back. 30, he's 30 years old. Okay. So maybe it is less than a first round pick for a Davante Adams.
This is where I will say the trade for Chase Claypool really does hurt the Bears right now, because mm-hmm. if the Raiders were looking to make Adams available, the Bears' number one, their first round pick this year is a non-starter. You can't trade a pick that high for Davante Adams at the age of 30, right? And he's just gotten paid. The good news is the Bears have the cap room where they could easily absorb, you know, Davante Adams' salary onto the books without even blinking. But they can't trade this year's first round pick. And I think if the Raiders are going to entertain the idea of trading away Davante Adams after 1 year, I have to believe that they're going to want a first round pick back in return. You know, you could have made the argument if you had your second round pick this year. Listen, it's not a first, But obviously, it's a very high second. And then you could start talking about packages that could be available. Whereas, I don't know, you know, I don't think the Raiders are going to say, well, we'll take a first round a year from now, right?
Right.
That's probably not in the cards. Mm. So I think if you're the Bears, you actually have to be hopeful that the Raiders will run it back with Adams at least for one more year. And we'll see if he gets noisy, right? Now, I don't know how much leverage he'll actually have because he's already signed his deal. And I think the Raiders have been happy with his production. When you watch him play, he's clearly, you know, still amongst the top 10 wide receivers, no doubt. So I'm curious, Bears fans, 312-332-3776. We've gone down this road with Aaron Rodgers where you haven't necessarily been into the idea of having Rodgers come in and play quarterback for the Bears. Would you, though, welcome Devontae Adams with open arms, knowing of his history, but now 1 year removed from the Packers? Feel free to give us a call, 312-332-3776.
I think you do, not whatever it takes, but this is a guy who's still, even though he's at 30, like we've talked about some other wide receivers who are at 30 that could be available, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, and there's some bumps and bruises, and there's some warts there that you can pick through. Like we've heard the stuff about Devontae Adams and about DeAndre Hopkins, and he can't run right now. And we've heard stuff about Mike Evans, and is that a guy that is it more of a stopgap, or is it a guy that's still can be a true number one? This is a guy who's still a true number one and one of the top 3-4 receivers in football still. And if you got a chance to go out and get him, like the Packers were never going to trade him to you. Because you're in the division.
Correct.
But could it be the old Brett Favre situation where, all right, you leave the division for a year or two, and then you come right back. And it's kind of the long, winding road to get back to the NFC North. And, boy, would it be something. That would be a real stab in the heart for Packers fans if it was Justin Fields along with Devontae Adams, and that was a tandem going forward for the next 3-4 years.
And the one thing you heard was he clearly was not happy with where they're at. Bears fans, 312-332-3776. Chime in. Let us know how you feel about the idea of going after Devontae Adams. Mel Arnacki here in for Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
The football playoffs are right around the corner, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, but also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. So download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of the 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Jeff Miller, Tyler Aki, and Cap and J Hood this morning. Taking your phone calls at 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Discussing the Raiders' decision to bench Derek Carr and how that affects the potential future of Devontae Adams. Bears fans, would you be more than smitten with the idea of bringing Devontae Adams aboard as Justin Fields' number one wide receiver? Let's go on out to Long Grove and say good morning to Adam. Hey, Adam, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, so what I was thinking is that even if we get a high draft pick, that utilize that is even with trade for Devontae Adams, you could still get some third rounders, fourth rounders. And if you look at other teams that built, that's where you got to build in those ranks. That's all I have to say is that if you're going to cash in that draft pick, sometimes getting the number one wideout would be great for Justin Fields. At 30 years old, though, you're only looking at a short term of like 3 years.
Yeah, I hear you, Adam. I guess like the idea of trading back certainly is appealing. I don't know if you're proposing the idea of trading back and then flipping that first rounder for Devontae Adams. The problem for the Bears, obviously, is having traded their what's going to be a very high second round pick makes it difficult, a difficult needle to thread to try and appeal to the Raiders potentially trading for Devontae Adams.
I think the other thing, too, is if the Bears are going to trade that number one overall pick, it's going to happen closer to the draft.
Absolutely.
And will Devontae Adams still be on the market at that point?
Yeah.
Like, will the Raiders want to act quickly so they can know what their draft strategy is going to look like? like, is this a trade that happens at the start of the new league year? Or is this something that happens closer to draft day? I'd say it probably happens, what is the new league year start in March, right?
Correct.
So I would say it happens closer to the start of March than it does middle, end of April, which is when the Bears are more likely to make a trade with their number one overall pick, so they can kind of source everything and see, all right, what's the maximum value we can get for this pick? You're not going to know what that maximum value is at the beginning of March.
Yeah.
You're going to know what that is closer towards the draft.
Yeah, remember Adams was traded before the draft last year. Mm-hmm. I think it was a week or so before the draft, a couple days before the draft, when Adams was traded by the Packers to the Raiders. Now, remember, A.J. Brown was traded on draft night,
right,
by the Eagles, by the Titans to the Eagles, and that was a bit of a surprise. Yeah, I think if the Raiders are actually going to entertain the idea, or if, you know, if Adams is so annoyed by the whole situation, the way it's played out, where he starts to, you know, chirp and say, I want out, see if you can find a deal, then the Raiders, in all likelihood, are going, if they do entertain that notion, they're going to want to make that deal before draft night. They're going to want to know what type of pick they have in hand. And so it's very difficult to envision a scenario where the Bears will be able to pull it off the night of. It's not the same as A.J. Brown, I don't think.
No, the timing probably doesn't work out with this deal just because of when they could be flipping assets here.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is we could see a Davante Adams trade, and it wouldn't surprise us. When we saw the initial Davante Adams trade, I think it was a little shocking. The Tyreek Hill trade certainly was shocking.
Yes.
The A.J. Brown trade, maybe not shocking, but still a surprise when you saw it draft night.
It was with all the, I would say Adams was the least surprising. Tyreek Hill was the most surprising. Mm-hmm. And then A.J. Brown was somewhere in the middle based on the way it came down. Let's try John, who's in Naperville. Hey, John, you're on with Mellor and Aki, in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
You tell us.
Obviously, I wouldn't mind Davante Adams. Perfect world, we get the first or second pick, we trade back to Seattle, Arizona, Indy, they're all think going after a quarterback, because who knows what's going on with Kyler Murray and stuff like that. But ideally, I would like D-Hop. I think we can get him for less. He's still a top five wide receiver. He's obviously not happy in Arizona with what's going on over there. And I think he's got a few really good years left in him while we sit back and draft a couple more wide receivers and build our team up. I just think it's the smarter plan or the smarter route.
John, I think I'd rather have Adams as a player, mm-hmm. but I think it's much more viable. And when you look at it, okay, how could you go about getting Hopkins on the Bears roster? I don't think it's going to take a first round pick, right, to get Hopkins. It's a second or even a little bit later, that makes much more sense for the Bears.
Arizona's, I think, still going to have a top five pick, so we can swap picks plus D Hop mm-hmm. and maybe a third or something like that.
Interesting.
From Arizona.
No, that's a fair point.
Yeah, it's not a bad call, and I appreciate it, John. But the one thing I will say is, if you're going to do this right, don't take shortcuts. And if taking a shortcut is, all right, we're not going to pay as much to go get a DeAndre Hopkins, even though we might have a chance at getting a Davante Adams,
mm-hmm.
you've got a chance with a quarterback that looks like he could be something really special. Do not take shortcuts with it. Or otherwise, you may end up like the Packers, where you get the one, but you never, like, you leave your fan base still wanting a little bit more, and it's perpetual frustration with it. And I know Sylvie and Carmen had the conversation yesterday, when did one become the new zero? But you should still have aspirations for more than one,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to take the shortcuts that lead you to only having one. The Packers should have more than one right now.
Yes,
and if they had
absolutely.
Made some smarter moves with some receivers, with getting Aaron Rodgers some offensive help, they probably would have more than one.
312-332-3776, discussing whether or not Davante Adams is a logical target for Bears fans right now to go ahead and get that number one wide receiver. Is he actually going to be traded by the Vegas Raiders after the benching of Derek Carr yesterday? Jeff Mellor, Tyler Aki in for Cap and Jay Hood. We're up next with Shot or No Shot in 2 short minutes.